Good evening. I'd like to begin by reading a very well-known Great Commission, in Matthew chapter 28, beginning with verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." This Great Commission is still in effect today. Oh, I forgot to put on the mic. This Great Commission is still in effect today. When Christiane and I were young, we both, of course, Christiane in Canada, far from where I was, and I, being 11 years older, before she was born, I was called to be a missionary. We both were strongly affected by people who answered that commission. Missionaries who passed through our churches, our respective churches, doing what we're doing tonight, reporting on what God was doing in their areas of the world. So from a very early age, both of us were impressed with the Great Commission. And we'd like to stress tonight that it doesn't matter what age you are. There are a couple of young ones here. But it doesn't matter what age you are. If the Lord leads you to follow that Great Commission in terms of what we're doing and leaving your own country, and going out to the world that God loves as much as your own country, I encourage you to seriously consider that voice. It's never too late to answer that kind of call. So we preface our presentation tonight with that encouragement. We are the Marcys. I'm Tim. My wife, Christiane, is in the second pew up here in front. We introduced ourselves this morning, but just to recap that, we have just finished our first term. We returned to the States 2 months ago, and we'll be here until February. What we'll do tonight is share with you what God has done over our first term, which lasted approximately 4 years, almost 4 years. Now, this first slide introduces you to the name of Japan in Japanese, which is Nihon. And what I need to do is explain these two characters to you. First, on the left, there's the character for sun. On the right, the character for origin. Japan is known as, does anyone know? The land of the rising sun. But we just sang a hymn that's very appropriate to Japan, not only Japan, the world in general, but Japan is a very, very dark place. Here a woman is praying, sincerely praying. I don't know this woman, I just snapped this photo to an image carved out of stone. Japan is a nation where, of 126 million people, where for hundreds of years, the Catholics introduced the Bible, I wouldn't say the gospel, the Bible to Japan in the middle of the 16th century. And the true gospel, as we understand it from the Bible, of salvation through Christ alone, by faith alone, was introduced little less than 150 years ago. So this, in terms of the true gospel being in Japan, is a relatively short history of the light shining in this dark land. We, God has given us the privilege of doing what we just sang in that hymn and letting our light shine in the darkness of Japan. And may we honor him with our lives there. We're going to share with you now what we have been doing over the past 4 years to shine that light. Now, our goals for our first term were, as you would quickly imagine, to learn Japanese language and culture. Simply cannot be effective in Japan long term without knowing the Japanese heart language and their culture. So So we spent our first 3 years, we dedicated our first 3 years to that pursuit. Next, find a local church to become our church planting base. What we want to do is to be sent not only from our assembly here in the States, but to be sent from a Japanese assembly. Talking about long-term effectiveness, it's impossible without partnership with indigenous believers. Then to develop relationships and share the gospel. We weren't, during those first 3 years, ignoring those around us. We weren't so wrapped in our studies. We paid no attention to those around us. We sought to develop relationships of trust, or trusting relationships out of which, or within which, we could share the gospel. In Japan, you don't cast a net. There's no mass evangelism in Japan. All evangelism is done on a personal level, one-on-one. It's impossible, and because of their lack of background in biblical knowledge, and they have no Judeo-Christian heritage the way we do, it's impossible to just go and share the gospel the first or second time you meet someone. You have to develop a relationship and overcome the hurdle of their wariness to missionaries. The word for missionary in Japanese is proselyte maker. That's a loose translation. So they're wary. You need to let the Lord overcome that through the work of the Holy Spirit in that trust-building relationship. But what we did was we settled in a place called Karuizawa, the town where our language school was located, and began in earnest here to, as Christiane is doing here in her study, memorize hundreds of words, hundreds of characters, grammar, and we'd have to, in a setting like this with our classmates, go through a mock church meeting where each of us was given a certain responsibility. Here I'm giving a short message, Bible message. Another person would lead in music, lead in prayer, etc. Then we'd have to go out in the community and practice our Japanese in live situations like this, getting a library card. And we thought, oh, let's save some money and just use bikes and walk the first couple of years. Well, the first day in church, a man approached us and completely shocked us by saying this, I want to do all I can to spread the gospel in Japan, so would you please consider accepting a car from me? He owns a dealership. This is a trade-in, Toyota, kind of short station wagon with just, 20,000 miles on it. So we use this our whole first term. It's waiting for us when we go back. Japanese are very generous. This woman here guided us to the Department of Motor Vehicles for me to get my Japanese license, which was a harrowing experience. And what I did was help with the renovation of the cottages. A few slides ago, you saw the setting of our first year in Japan. This is one of those cottages you saw, to take the roof off, put a new roof on. I worked with the crew, and through that, I made contact with someone who suggested I take over. Some missionaries were going back to New Zealand for the winter. The wife in that couple, she doesn't deal well with cold, so they have to return to New Zealand for the winters. They had established a ministry teaching English as a means of sharing the gospel in a local town, in a nearby town, and needed someone to replace them. So someone I met through doing this renovation work, God used that person to guide me into a ministry, and you see this in the red circle there, in a town called Matsuida. And Matsuida has become a hotspot in our ministry, and we'll talk about it more later. A place where, in terms of making those trusting relationships, being able to really blossom and flourish. Here are some of my students. Now, these are all unsaved. They have practically no knowledge of the Bible. And what we need to do in building trusting relationships is spend a lot of time with people, allowing them to see us live. That's how they come to trust people. They are very intuitive, very observant. Now, you see that most of these ladies are older, and I must just inject this, that the woman sitting next to me there, Mrs. Takagi, she passed away 2 weeks ago. Before we left Japan, we were able to go to the hospital twice and to visit her. First time, I just carried my Bible under my arm to make the statement that we came in Jesus' name. She knows we're missionaries. She knows what we stand for, but she doesn't know the gospel point by point. So the next time we went, I presented her with four books: a book of testimonies, a book of excerpts from the Old Testament, a New Testament, and a book of gospel messages. Before we left, she said she had read two, was excited about them, and was looking forward to reading the other two. So we're very confident before she died, she had read all four, including the New Testament. I trust she did, and that she had, if she didn't trust Christ, we don't know what happened. She at least was presented with the gospel before she died. Christiane taught the children. There were adult classes and children's classes we inherited from, took over from those missionaries. Now, we didn't build our relationships solely in those classes. We were invited over to people's homes. Here we're invited to a farm where we've since spent many nights. It's unusual to be invited into a Japanese home, let alone be invited to stay overnight. We've been, again, there several times and stayed overnight. Very much welcomed. And just before we left, Mrs. Irisawa, behind Christiane, asked for a Bible. This is what we're doing in Japan. We're living our lives, interacting with people, and praying for these opportunities to either share the gospel, present literature, whatever the Lord opens up, we're just ready to jump on. Well, Christiane started, she inherited a women's Bible study. Here, this is a holiday activity. Out of this study, this woman here became close to Christiane, and eventually, through their one-on-one Bible study, and what she would say, this woman would say to her husband afterward at home, the husband, who was unsaved, came up with a question no one he knew could answer. He came to me. It was a spiritual question. And over the next couple months, we met for several hours at a time. In the end, he was ready to trust Christ, but I said, go home, and when you're in the quietness of your room, by yourself, interact directly with Jesus Christ, and you confess your sin. You know what the gospel is now. You interact with him and ask him for forgiveness. And that's what he did. His wife called one day, and so excited on the phone, saying that her husband had put his faith in Christ. Now, this man has just gone bonkers with Bible study. Martin Lloyd-Jones has been, his commentary on Romans has been translated into Japanese. There isn't much else available. It's a great commentary. He's gone through every volume translated into Japanese, collated, made information, made lists of cross-references. You name it, he's done it. Now he's teaching his wife what I've taught him in our study of Romans. And this is how things blossom. Their son, first, the wife was saved about 12 years ago. And recently, a year and a half ago or so, husband was saved. And their son, he's left unsaved. They only have one child. And he always would stumble over Jesus' miracles, especially the resurrection. So here he is on the lower right. He actually attended a Word of Life Bible English Bible school for several months. We visited him there, and I'm helping him with his Bible homework. Now he's looking to come to the States to do volunteer work. He's 26 years old, doesn't have a direction in life. I believe in his heart of hearts, he's looking to trust Christ. He's just finding his way in that direction cautiously. And what we want to do is we want to get him over here, involved in a volunteer position for 6 months, attached to a vibrant local church. So please pray for Takao for that. This is the way that our lives just branch out by God's providence. Now, to describe this dynamic a little further, this is, in the back, sitting next to me, in the orange t-shirt, Sumi. In our newsletters, we talked a lot about him. When I worked in Japan, some of you may not know this, but I worked in Japan in the early 90s as an English teacher, in an effort to evangelize through that English teaching. One of my students at the time was a teenager named Sumi. He's now an adult man with a family. When we arrived in Japan, I got a call one night. He was about to hang himself. He had become an alcoholic through stresses at work and asked me to convince him out of it. So I worked with him on the phone. He didn't take his life. He allowed his family to enter him in a lockdown facility for a rehab. And we visited him there several times. He professed Christ, but we haven't, unfortunately, seen clear evidence of his conversion. He keeps floundering back and forth between Buddhism and Christianity. But one day on a visit to him, he said, "Oh, my car just had a problem. I can't meet you. Go to my mom's house and just talk with her for an hour while I'm getting that done." So I go, and this is me in my finite perspective. I'm going to wait for Sumi. That's all I thought. I'll talk with his mom. But in the back of my mind, I was thinking, I need to pray about this. This could be an opportunity. But it was only in the back of my mind. I get there, and she gets in tears, and she's confessing to me how she's basically anorexic in her anxiety over her son, staying up nights and not eating, losing a lot of weight. So I said, you need Jesus Christ. And she had been my student also 20 years ago prior. So over an hour's time, I led her through the gospel again. And at the end, she said, I want to believe. I want to trust Christ. So she did right there. We started singing hymns together and prayed. So and ever since then, we've seen, in terms of genuine conversion, evidence of that, we could ask for nothing more in her case. So now the Holy Spirit in her is in that in the home where Sumi often visits because he's kind of too weak to carry on his own household. He just recently got a job after not having one for over a year. So these are the kinds of relationships, just to let you enter into our lives in Japan, that we want to make and the Lord has allowed us to make and that we want to continue in our next term. Here is Naoko, his mom. I'm helping her with a Bible question. Now, the first year in Japan, we lived in a tourist town. This is the main strip here with all the stands. This would be in the winter. This is the summertime. In the wintertime, this would be completely vacant, no one at all around. It was also a town of second homes. So our neighbors would only be around us for a month, 2 weeks at the most. And they wouldn't, and coming from Tokyo, they wouldn't want to talk to us. They want to hibernate in their cottages. So we knew that in order to interact in a real Japanese community, we'd have to move. That's what we did. We moved to this place in the red circle called Saku. It wasn't far away, just a normal Japanese city. Rented this house, which, as we described, was in a kind of fishbowl, houses all around us. Perfect environment to be seen and heard, right? And we didn't just sit there to be seen and heard. We moved out into the community, mobilized into the community by joining the neighborhood softball team. Christiane, here we actually won the pennant, our first attempt. And there are also neighborhood-wide events, besides the softball, that everyone, women, children, men, can get involved in, older people. This is a field day. We'd just, anything that came along, we'd sign up for. Christiane, when she was asked to join parties for a kind of the equivalent of a Tupperware party, but for different products, she joined just to meet with the women. So these are the women she met with, and she'd have conversations with them on spiritual things routinely. And my closest friend and the closest friends we ended up making in our neighborhood, the Shinoharas, he's on the softball team with me. And we just hit it off right away, and our friendship just grew and grew. Their two daughters are here in the front. The one here in the brown sweater, she, not too long ago, a year and a half ago, I guess, she was in the hospital with a rare brain condition that was taking away her hearing and eyesight. And her talents are art and music. She plays the guitar and is an amazing artist. She wanted to go to college for that, but she couldn't even graduate from high school, couldn't even finish high school because of those diminishing abilities. And she was just debilitated to where she had to take all these drugs, and her face got all puffy and was in the hospital months on at a time. So one day I said to her dad, would it be all right if I go to the hospital and pray for her? He said, oh, let me ask her. So he did and got back right away saying she was happy for us to come. So we went to the hospital, I prayed for her, and within a month and a half or so, her symptoms started to go away. And so then she was transferred to a hospital in Tokyo to meet with more specialists. And I said, actually, that time he asked us if we'd go. We went and prayed for her a second time. And about a month later, all her symptoms went away. She was taken off medication, able to go back to high school. And as you see, it's dark outside. As soon as she got home from her graduation ceremony with her diploma, she came to our front door. What we realize is that they know our God was involved in her getting better. And they actually said, your God healed our daughter. So isn't that amazing? You know, even now it sends shivers up my spine. And 2 years ago, the tsunami hit northeastern Japan. We felt that earthquake. It was 9.2. The floor of our house was swaying back and forth, 3 to 4 feet, you know, side laterally. We ran outside and waited for the earthquake to stop. Then we had to wait 3 weeks to get involved in the relief because the highways were closed down to the affected areas. But as soon as we could, we went. We loaded up a van we had borrowed and went with the Cries, other missionaries from the assemblies in Japan. They're in the truck ahead of us. This is our van. And this is what we saw when we entered the tsunami-stricken area. Whole towns just leveled. You saw the images on TV. This ship was lifted out of the harbor and set down on a street. The force of the tsunami took this boat, the pieces of which just were, you know, the whole thing was just jammed in on top of the car. You see, that was inside this garage. The force of the thing was amazing. Just 30,000 people dead or missing. So we went in and distributed these relief goods in the name of Jesus. And I gotta keep track of the time here. I have a tendency to get excited about certain slides and almost say too much about it, but I just want to tell this quick story. You see these containers in the front, these white containers? And over here, there are boxes full of water. One in this neighborhood, I don't know the woman's name, I don't know what day she came, but one day a woman came, got some water, went home, used it, time went on. But what happened in her case is that some of her relatives died in the tsunami. She became so depressed she decided to take her life. So she's walking through the streets of this town looking for a way to kill herself, jump in front of a car. I don't know what she was going to do. But then it flashed into her mind that she had received water from a church and that she should go to that church and ask them to see if there was a way they could keep her from killing herself. So that's what she did, and she's been going there ever since. We heard that story about six months ago. I don't know what's happened since then. Now please pray for the continuing efforts in tsunami relief. What we'd do is we'd go in and muck out the houses, get them all ready for the carpenters to come in, and just show the mercy of Christ in that practical way. I also, my work before leaving for Japan was garden design and construction and renovation. So I renovated this couple's garden. So we do just anything that we possibly can to show the mercy of Christ. This is a group from our church we took with us. Part of our ministry in the tsunami area is to take Japanese with us to show them how to minister. You wouldn't imagine this, but the Japanese have a hard time breaking out of their groups, ministering to other people. Volunteerism is a new concept in Japan, introduced by Americans after the war. And other, you know, British, Irish. mainly Christians. So we want to inspire the Japanese to reach out to their own people. So we take them along with us. This is Randy Cry, the Cry's son, came to help us. The man indicated with the red arrow is our ground person in the tsunami area, Dean Bengston, a wonderful missionary. He and his wife are so devoted. They actually moved to the tsunami area, to about maybe half mile from the water line, are renting a house there and hope to establish a local church. And there's so many other tsunami stories we could tell, but we have to move on to the next step in our first 4 years. After language study, we committed ourselves to an internship at a large church in Takasaki. Takasaki is famous for what you see here. These are unfinished. They're kind of good luck charm that people place in their homes for economic prosperity. These are made of papier-mâché. There's a hole in the bottom so those sticks can go through for them to dry in the sun. There was a massive drought in our city hundreds of years ago, and people took pity on the farmers and thought if they made these things, they could sell them and have some extra income to tide them over. They end up looking like the one here with the face painted on it. What you do is you paint one pupil in the beginning of the year. If you prosper financially, you paint the other eye in, take your daruma with the rest of the townspeople to this big bonfire and burn them. So what I want to do right now is just pass this around. This is an actual daruma. And what I want to show with this, by passing this around, don't worry, it's not a demon-possessed idol or anything. It's hollow. What I want to indicate by having you handle it is the emptiness of Japanese religion. People don't know what they believe. They just go through rituals blindly. This is really a money-making, this is a business. It has nothing to do with faith. It has to do with superstition and fear, mainly money-making. It costs about $40 for that. So they're making hundreds, thousands of these things every year. So that's the city we live in, Takasaki. Here is our chapel entrance. So it's on the top there in green, Takasaki Christ Chapel. And in Greek, above the door, God is love. Our apartment now is right here. So we went 30 seconds to the front door. That's where we live. And very quickly, this is what we describe as a ministry team. This gentleman was a customer of our sister here, who with her husband run a tire shop. So he comes in one day, and her custom is to invite all her customers to church for evangelistic outreaches. So she invites him. He comes sporadically when we first started at this church. And he attended the Christmas celebration this past Christmas, heard me play on my guitar, What Child Is This? And he loves the Greensleeves tune, wants to play it himself on the guitar. As a child, always wanted to learn guitar, didn't have a chance, so asked me if I would teach him. I said, well, I will, but can we also study the Bible together? So we ended up studying guitar 1 hour, followed by an hour of Bible study. And then, so we're leaving on furlough, what do we do? Well, this guy here, Marumo, he is an excellent guitarist, much better than I. So I asked him to get involved and take over in my absence. So the three of us, 1, 2, 3, are a ministry team for the salvation of this gentleman here, Mr. Yamada. So please pray for us as we demonstrate cooperation in evangelism in this way, and of course for Mr. Yamada. This is our assembly at the Lord's Supper. 100 people. In Japan, a mega church. The average for a church there in attendance, 20, 25. So to have 100 people attending every week is amazing. We're very thankful to have strong leadership. This is a church of over 70 years to guide us through, again, the thought process of the Japanese in church, in assembly leadership. vital information, vital training for us. Many of the women in our church, their husbands are unsaved. So the church seeks ways to minister to them. Here we are, the church advertised a hike to which the husbands would be attracted. Many older people, especially older men in Japan, enjoy hiking, trekking, backpacking, what have you. So we all went out on this day trip, which ended up being fantastic. And we just ask you to pray for the trust to be built with those husbands, for them to be saved. We also open the church building to the community with a bazaar once a year. We advertise in the local newspaper and sell homemade goods, have some Japanese junk food here for them. Again, this is our apartment shown in the earlier slide, located just above in this two-story building, just above a Christian bookstore. Earlier, I described how I took over the English classes from those New Zealander missionaries who had to return. Well, they recently retired and sort of left Japan for good, handed over their ministry to me in full. That allowed me to minister freely to them spiritually, whereas before I would have to defer to the person who started the ministry. I wouldn't try to interfere with his work. But since he handed everything over to me, I was able to go ahead after 3 years. Not only had I built trust with the people, the Lord was working, so they were ready and eager for me to teach them the Bible. Just as a quick segue into a further explanation of that, this gentleman here I'm pointing to, Mr. Mamada, he is in charge of his community's Shinto shrine. So he's in charge of pagan worship from our perspective in his local community. So he would have no interest whatsoever in Christianity, except for the fact that the tsunami occurred. And I told the story to a few of you, how a pastor in Fukushima, where the reactors, those reactors that are compromised, a pastor was approached by a reporter. Several reporters ended up writing a book about his interviews with these reporters. That has become a bestseller. One of those reporters asked the pastor, "Why do you continue to worship your God and pray to him if he allowed your church building to be completely destroyed and members of your congregation to die?" And he said, "I don't pray to God just to get things from him in a selfish way. I pray for God to show me how I can help you, how I can serve him by serving the Japanese people." So that was so, for me, that's a no-brainer, because I've been raised within that construct. But for a Japanese like Mr. Mamada, it's completely foreign. Again, volunteerism, any kind of outreach for the Japanese is foreign. So when he read that, he was stunned and started asking, when he prayed in front of his shrine at home, he started praying to his pagan gods and his ancestors to teach him how to help other people. But of course, that's just a step for him. When I invited him to the Bible study, I was really not, in my again, finiteness, really wondering, will he really come? But he came, and eager to learn. And I described Matsuita as a hotspot in our ministry. After 3 years, we started this English Bible study, and the people basically can't wait for us to come back. They said, is there any way you can cut your furlough short? We started in Psalm 19, describing God as the God who reveals himself, and went to Genesis 1-3. Who is God? Who is man? What is sin? What is grace? Finished that, all three chapters, went on furlough. And what they asked was, when we return, to teach the same thing over once more. So we're all set up for that. Please pray for Matsuita. A local church, this is just theoretical, but with what the Lord's doing there, a local church could be started really at any time. We're waiting for the Lord's direction, and I'll describe that in just a minute. This is Takuto, my language helper. About a year ago, I started preaching regularly, and without his help, I would be completely lost. I mean, not completely. People would understand me, but in order for my message to hit the heart, hit the core, I need Takuto to come in and smooth it out for me. So I depend on him heavily in the correction of my manuscript. I love this guy. He's a vibrant new believer. He wants to attend Trinity Evangelical Divinity School in Deerfield. He's working hard to save money. We're praying for the Lord to provide for him. We see him as a future helper in our ministry. That's why I'm keying in on his story. Please pray for him that the Lord will help him, that he would in reality, in truth, become a part of our team, church planning team. And I'm really giving you a smattering of our ministries, doing the best I can. I started a ministry to local pastors, not only elders in our assemblies, but all pastors in evangelical churches in the city, for helping them, facilitating their entering into the world of English Bible study resources. There just isn't, in Japanese, isn't enough material for them to construct a sound message. For instance, right now there is no reliable commentary on Luke in Japanese. Can you believe that? It's incredible. So here we're using Douglas Moo's commentary on Romans, going sentence by sentence. I also teach them English conversation, just pouring into them to equip them to serve better, more effectively. Christiane works with the children in the children's club. So many times in Japan you hear of those who are converted talking about experience they had as children, going to a kindergarten, going to a kids club, a Christian kindergarten, some place where they were introduced to the Bible, to Jesus Christ. It could just be a word they heard, some truth they heard, that in a moment as adults flashes back, the Lord brings back to their mind. That's the thing that drives them over to the church where they get the gospel in full. So we know, given the oppressiveness of the Japanese society, how important it is when children, in their impressionable stages, it is for them to be introduced to the Bible. So please pray for the children's ministries where we are now and in the future. And some of these kids, they grow up in the assembly. You know how it is often. A kid who grows up in the assembly as a teenager, they start to be just drawn away into the world. So in Japan, Saturdays and Sundays, kids have so much to draw them away from church. It's a huge struggle to keep them in activities, to keep them coming to church. They have their clubs, table tennis club, soccer club, softball club, whatever it may be, to draw them away. So we have special camps that are a lot of fun. We also have great teaching to get these kids excited, moving in their faith. Some of them are not saved yet. So this young man here, he's just aimless right now. This guy over here, he's a little closer. And some good news, this young man, after being involved in the occult, he was in the kids' club as a youngster, got involved in the occult, and recently was saved and baptized. Here he is on the day of his baptism. He's giving me a big hug. He and I bonded really well, have a great relationship, and I'm looking to invest a lot in him. I see a lot of potential in him. And one morning before we left, I got down on my knees, actually, in front of the window I had pointed to earlier above the church entrance, our apartment window there, and took the time to count over an hour and a half period how many teenagers were going by on their bike to school. 300. In an hour and a half, I counted 300. So our aim is returning next year to advertise in the paper an English teaching with the Bible as the textbook, and establish a kind of mini youth center with a game, some games like a foosball, table soccer, table tennis, to give kids a place to hang out and hear the gospel. On the day we were seen off to come on furlough, these Japanese came to the bus station. And the ones indicated with the red arrows are actually going to come to the States in September. We're going to meet them in Denver. We're going to go to Littleton Bible Chapel, where Alex Strauch is, and visit three small Japanese assemblies in that area. Then get on a plane together and go to Ardsley, our sending assembly. They're coming to the States not only to meet Alex, who's going to be the keynote speaker for the annual conference next year. This gentleman is in charge of that, so he needs to talk to Alex face to face. One of their main reasons, however, is to meet the leadership of our sending church, because they know that in the future they'll be forming a team supplying people four-hour church planting team in cooperation or coordination with the elders in the U.S. They want to meet those elders face to face. That's how committed they are to our ministry. So we praise God for that, and would have ask you to praise God as well. Now, looking at the clock, is it 22 past 7? Okay. The last slide we're showing here is the Japanese for hope, kibo. We started off with reading the Great Commission and encouraging you to follow the Lord's call. There's a way for you to serve where you live right now. There's a way for you to serve if the Lord leads you to a different state, to a different country. When you think of Japan, think of a nation that desperately needs people, more people, following the Great Commission to serve the Japanese people by sharing the gospel. We're doing all we can with the Lord's, we trust with the Lord's strength and guidance. But we see around us so many needs. If there were more serving in the same capacity we're serving, there's just endless work to do. So if you know that the Lord has called you to be where you are long term, that's wonderful. But if you know of someone who is considering missions, and after hearing what we've said tonight, understand better the needs of Japan, please say a word to that person about the needs of Japan in our behalf. Now, we'd like to open the floor for questions with the remaining time. Yes? Yeah, there's complete religious freedom in Japan. Our visa is religious activities. So it's clearly stated, everyone knows, it's overt that we're missionaries. And we can do anything, we can stand on any corner. As long as we don't disrupt, we're allowed to do anything we see fit. Complete freedom. Another question? There's another hand here. Yes? Yeah.
And apparently he never
done. I think that was more of a political move than a sincere attempt to evangelize Japan. He also sent the emperor around to shake hands with people, to humanize the emperor. So he used lots of devices to subjugate the Japanese to democracy, from that imperial regime. To a democracy. He used lots of devices. I think 1,000 answered his call. If you could say they answered his call, I think it was more that the Lord led them there. But the population of genuine believers in Japan has remained, steadily remained at a quarter of 1%. That means that if 400 Japanese pass you by, one of them is a genuine born-again Christian. Yeah. So no, human being can't build the church. You know, his efforts may be laudable. Maybe they're more than a political device, But at any rate, we can't, through human effort, increase the number of believers in Japan. Such a dark, I mean, the whole world is in need of prayer. So I don't know if that, if I'm answering your question or not, but kind of rambling here. But does that make any sense? Does that make sense, what I was just saying? Oh, I see. Peter Clift is one of our colleagues. Yes, he lives about 2.5 hours by car away from us.
My question kind of goes along with that. Do you ever have the opportunity to have conferences with the other missionaries in Japan?
Yes, there's a summer conference just for missionaries to fellowship with each other and enjoy teaching in English. There are also Japanese conferences we attend together, but we work separately. Okay. Yes.
Yes. Think about the industry in Japan. I mean, they made a lot of cars over there, though. I mean, is that a lot, you know? Toyota, the Hondas?
Yeah. So, in terms of the economy, the Japanese, I think they felt since they were defeated militarily, they would strike back economically. So they put, in order to reestablish their pride as a nation, which is not necessarily a bad thing, they just dumped their efforts into the economy. They worked like soldiers to become a world-class economy, and they achieved their goal through auto industry, shipbuilding, electronics, et cetera, et cetera. They're very devoted in the workplace. And that's it's a whole different area of discussion of how one of the most difficult aspects of ministry in Japan is that men have no time. You have no time to even evangelize men, let alone have men who trust Christ serve in the local church. It's one of our visions is to establish Christian businesses that within which you'll be able to set your own hours and days off. But the Japanese, they had a great economy up till the mid-80s when the bubble burst there. They were extremely confident in themselves, very resistant to the gospel at that time in their prosperity. The bubble burst, and we see things are different now. With the tsunami and the threat of nuclear disaster, the Japanese are, again, realizing their humanness and their finiteness. Before we left?
Yeah.
Oh, we both attended Philadelphia College of Bible. I, instead of going to seminary, I spent 4 years studying the Bible under one of my professors during the day and worked at a part-time job at night. I studied, doctrine, original languages, etc. Christiane double majored in Bible and English literature, education on the high school level. Yes?
What was the name of that professor?
Paul Carlene. Yes. Yes?
What do the Japanese people really believe in a religious way? Do they think they're going to be a heaven? Or what is it that they
Well, it's a very interesting question, and I'll finish with this answer. The question is, what do the Japanese believe, and what kind of hope do they have in the afterlife, right? It's a very difficult question to answer, but I'll do my best. The Japanese are filled with fear. So what they believe are more superstitions than doctrines. Now, they're not taught any doctrines, ever. They don't have scriptures they read. They have rituals. And those rituals, if you perform them, are supposed to keep you from harm. So what they fear is harm. And they don't know anything about the afterlife. They have a concept of heaven as a place where they continue on in some kind of bliss, but there's no basis for the bliss. Now, they are self-deceived, thinking that they're good. The only bad people in Japan are those in prison. If you keep yourself out of prison, you're fit for heaven, basically. So their hope is based in self-deception, that because I'm a comparatively good person, I deserve to continue on or to enter into a state of bliss. They don't know where that place is. They don't know the God who lives in or might live in heaven. So in terms of their religion, a nation of complete ignorance. Yeah, they follow the traditions they were taught as children, perpetuate them to the next generation, and are raised thinking they're animals because all that's taught in schools is Darwinism. So it's a strange mix of evolutionary teaching and superstitious rituals in both Buddhism and Shintoism. Very sad, hope from our perspective, completely hopeless. When you reveal that to them, when the Holy Spirit reveals that to them, they break down. But those cases are extremely rare. The pride is such a, you think of the Japanese in World War II, what they accomplished as a small nation, that's amazing, and they know it. What they've accomplished in their economy is amazing, and they know that too, but the bubble burst. They were defeated in World War II. Now they were defeated by China. They lost their second place position on the scale of world economies just recently, last year. So the Lord is doing something for the Japanese. And our time has run out. Thank you very much. Wish I could talk with you more, but that gives you a glimpse. Thank you very much. Yeah, I'll close in prayer then. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you have given each of us the privilege of representing you to this dark world. It doesn't matter where we are. As long as you've called us there, you will build your church, and you will use those who are yielded to you to accomplish that. We pray that having all of us been reminded of your work, in this case your work in Japan, we would be humbled. We call the Japanese a proud people, but then we look in the mirror and see just how proud we are, how self-satisfied we are, how self-reliant we are, and realize we need your sanctifying work. So we pray that you will strengthen your church, the pillar and foundation of the truth, that against which the gates of hell cannot withstand. We pray that as we trust you and share the gospel with those you have put in our lives, that we would understand your sovereign power better, that in any circumstance, any situation, you can do things far greater than our imagination. Please give us the faith to see that and trust you. As we sow the seeds, you will bring the harvest. We trust you for all this, and thank you for the opportunity of just reveling in your missionary heart tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.